Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
For members only, Golf Smarter number 362, published on December 18, 2012, is being presented to the entire Golf Smarter community courtesy of Alpha Brain by Onnit Labs. Reduced fatigue, enhanced focus, lucid dreams without any of the hyperactivity associated with caffeine. Alpha Brain is a dietary supplement that has proven results. Click on the Alpha Brain ad at golfsmarter.com to learn why Alpha Brain will work for you. Use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER and you'll get 10% off all your purchases. And if you buy the 90-count bottle, you'll also get additional savings and free golf gifts. We'd like to thank Alpha Brain by Onnit Labs for the support and confidence in allowing us to deliver golfers around the world who are searching for that competitive edge.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
What it takes to compete on the PGA Tour, Part 2 with Matt Every.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter for members only, Matt.
Hey, what's up, man?
I'm having fun. I don't ever get to talk to PGA Tour players, so this is a lot of fun for me. Thank you.
All right, fun for me too.
Good. Thanks. I'm real curious to talk about your game, specifically about your game. We've talked about your history and things, and having a tour, a caddy on tour, what kind of changes that does for you. But I'm curious what it's like. Well, here's an interesting one. So in 2012, you may or may not know this, Matt, but according to the statistics online, you earned nearly $2 million.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Not bad for a couple of years out of college. But, you know, when you get into athletics, you know, you college golfers, you probably had some really stiff competition, but getting into the tour, a completely different beast?
Yeah, well, I mean, well, for one, what you did in college, it just doesn't matter anymore. It's not like the NFL where if you're the best out of college, I mean, you're set, you know? I mean, even if you don't perform money-wise, you're set. So, different that way. And then,
you also talked about before that when you were in college, it's like carte blanche. The team had a jet to take you to different tournaments, and someone was there carrying your bags and stuff. All of a sudden, it's like when you graduate from high school to college, you're a freshman again. And when you graduate from college and you go out into the real world, you're a rookie again. What are the big differences being a PGA Tour player versus being an elite college player?
Well, being a PGA Tour player is awesome, but, you know, there's not always, you know, not every pro golfer is on the PGA Tour. Now, if you're on the tour, there's not much of a transition. I mean, we flew private in college because we just used the university's jet because we were the smallest team and we're the only team that could use it, really. I mean, the tennis team, some. But, you know, if you're on the PGA Tour, you're flying good. I mean, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to fly commercial. I mean, I fly it all the time, but, it's great.
So you are flying commercial?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I might hitch a ride every now and then on somebody's plane.
Like who? But, who have you hitch a ride with?
Oh man. Guess.
Do you mind me asking? Is that okay?
No, that's fine. Yeah. Robert Garrigus.
And these are guys with their own planes?
I think they, no, a lot of guys just rent hours, they buy hours and go that way. I don't think really, I don't even know if anybody has their own plane. I'm sure Tiger probably does and Phil, but I'm like a normal guy out there. I don't think anybody's owning jets. I mean, that's a lot of upkeep.
And with $2 million in earnings, I'm just going to keep throwing that in your face. What kind of expenses? I mean, obviously you're going to have a bunch of overhead. $2 million. They throw this number of $2 million, but that's probably not what you're taking home by the end of the year.
My bank account does not have $10 million in it. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Depends how you want to live up there. I mean, if you want to stay in nice places, you know, it might be $150-$200 a night hotel minimum some weeks.
Sure.
And if you want to grind and save money, you can live cheap out there. But, you know, the expenses as far as like a trainer, like if a lot of guys are trainers, teachers, you got to pay your caddy, you know, travel. And if you're going around with a family too, I mean, you know, you got another person you're taking care of. So expenses, they add up fast out there, for sure. But, you know, if you don't finish in the top, like 150, I mean, you're not making much money out there. You might make like 50, you know, 50 grand, but for the number that it says, you'd think you'd made a lot more.
Hmm. And you're a new dad, a little boy. I don't know how. Been married probably not too long, I'm guessing.
Married 3 years, a little over 3 years.
Okay. Yeah. So does your wife and now son travel with you as well, or are you not there yet?
He traveled a little. He was born on July 4th this year.
Oh, that's
and,
neat.
And the first tournament he came to was the Boston playoff one at Deutsche Bank. And her mom and her flew up with him. And it went pretty easy. He was so young that on the plane, like, he just didn't care. You know, I mean, he was just sleeping. So,
Daddy won.
It was great. But, and then we drove to Disney a couple weeks ago. They stayed down there with me all week.
And so those expenses have to, you know, those add up, obviously, and they cut into your earnings. But what does that do, having those kind of distractions, do for your game, you know, as you're going through a tournament? I mean, I've got to believe that when you're playing a four-day tournament, you know, at the end of each round, that are you playing it back in your head and thinking about what you did wrong, what you want to correct, and different parts on the course because you're playing the same course every day? What happens at night for you after each round when you're on the tour?
Well, everyone's different.
I'm asking Matt Every.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'll tell you, when I get done, I might go to the range 5% of the time after I'm done. I don't like to practice after. I'm usually ready to leave, and because the rounds take forever out there. You're out there, including your warm up, for about 6.5-7 hours, and it's just you're mentally fried usually when you're done, especially if you're in contention. And I know that when I go home, I'm gonna eat dinner with my friend. If my family's on the road, I'm gonna eat with my friends. We're gonna have a good time, and then I might think about, you know, my round then when I'm relaxed and can think about it. And usually I know the changes I need to make, and I'm good enough to make them the next day on the range. I don't need to stay there after and practice. I've been practicing my whole life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some guys are totally different, though. Some guys will stay there until dark every day, and that's just not me. I can't do it.
Do you spend a lot of time practicing when you're not competing?
Yeah, I definitely do that. I mean, I'm not... like today, I was out. I mean, I practiced from 8:30 to right before I start talking to you, so about 3 o'clock.
And what do you do to focus your practice? And what kind of practice do you do? Are you working on everything, or do you say, "All right, today I'm just going to focus on 50 yards and in"?
I don't do that. Some guys do, but I work on everything every day. I mean, like, you know, the ADD kicks in sometimes, and I just can't sit there and hit the same shot all the time. I have to, you know, like my divot, like, this is a great way to describe how I play. My divots on the range, everyone will take a nice, neat square, you know, off the range. My divots are all over the place. I never have a pattern. The ball goes in a different place, or I'll tee it right behind the next divot. You know how, have you ever been to a tour event? You go to the range and all the divot patterns are like perfect rectangles or something like that. Like, I hit balls from all over the range just because I can't sit there and do it.
Oh, Matt, thank you so much for giving us permission to not do it that way.
Yeah. And actually, the greenskeepers like it better if you do that.
Really?
Yeah, I would say it's easier to grow back if you don't do it all in one area, if you kind of scatter it out a little bit.
So then why do players do that?
I don't know, man. They think it looks cool, probably, or something. Are there robots?
Oh, well, please, don't hold back just because of me, Matt. I mean, you can say whatever you'd like. I don't mind. It's only a podcast. And so you're out there practicing everything and every day and like a certain amount of time or until you're saying, okay, I got that and I'm done with that today. I'll work on that again.
I mean,
tomorrow.
I'm a normal person. Like when I'm not traveling, I'm a normal person. So if I have stuff to do that day, like if my wife needs me to do something or, you know, if she's going to get something done and she needs me to watch a kid, that, I mean, I will do that first. I would rather do that. I mean, all the time. But if something is lacking, then yeah, I'm going to go work on it because it's my job, you know? I mean, I know what the right amount of attention is for me and what too much is. Like, I'm not out here every day 9 to 5 practicing. Like, I don't treat it like a 9 to 5 job. I think it would do me a disservice to do that. So I just kind of do whatever feels right when it's right. I leave it.
And do you work with a coach on a regular basis as well?
Yeah, I do.
And so does your coach create a game plan for you on your practice sessions or leaves you alone just working on tweaking things when you're laughing?
Yeah, like the whole ADD thing again. Like, I just don't – you can't tell me to do one thing. Like, I don't – like, he – like, because I'm not going to – I might do it for 10 minutes, but then I'm totally off the topic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just – I don't know. I do my own thing. Sometimes he tries to give me like this game plan and stuff. And what are your goals? And I don't do goals. You know, I try my best and then whatever it ends up, but like I'm not a goal setter.
So you're living your life one shot at a time.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, boy, do I relate. But it's
yeah, like my strength is getting over bad shots. I mean that my all. Like, it's not putting, grabbing anything. It's being able to forget the last swing because it just doesn't matter anymore. And it's a big waste of energy thinking about it.
Go over that. I mean, I'm real curious to pursue that, getting over bad shots. I mean, like, instantly you're done?
Well, you can't make a committed swing on the next shot. If you hit a bad shot the shot before and you're still thinking about it,
yeah.
There's no way you're going to make a committed swing at the next one. Like I said, I mean, I would so much rather hit a committed bad shot than to decel and bail. Like if there's water left and a pin left, I would rather hit it in the water, as dumb as this may sound, barely, and be close to a good shot than bail out right and make, you know, not get up and down and make bogey. Like I would, that would bother me, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Ever since I adopted that, it's been great. So
really,
hit a lot more good shots under the gun with that mentality.
And when you are in a committed shot, but it hits the water barely, like you just said, it barely hits the water.
Yeah.
Do you step back and go wrong club?
No, I mean I know what I immediately know what, like if it's too, you know, if I made a mistake, I know what I'm the one who does it. I mean, I've done it my whole life. So I know immediately, well, you're a little quick at the top there, you know, or this, or we had the wind wrong or something like that. But I always know what it is and I don't dwell on it. I mean, it's you don't have time to dwell on it out there. I mean, it's a slow moving game, but before you know it, the next shot's up. And if you keep thinking about it, you're going to be off the tour.
Yeah. And you are, you must hate the pace of PGA play. Or are you just used to it?
I've gotten used to it. I mean, there's no incentive for anyone to play fast. So why would they play fast? I mean, the fines are like, I think it's like 20 grand for if you have 10 bad times. And you really have to be slow to get 10 bad times.
Right.
And but the guys who are playing slow, they don't care about, you know, 10 or 20 grand. I mean, that's not worth that's not worth it for them to speed up because their games might change. And then they're off the tour, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. What about, and I want to get into to like club selection, club distances and things like that, especially on these committed shots, you know, to taking these and going right after it. I was having a conversation on one of our recent episodes with the wedge guy. We have this guy, Terry Kaler, the wedge guy, makes a great product called the of wedges. He has a set of wedges, and his whole thing is treating it as if you're like your 9 iron is more of a wedge than it is like a 5 iron, right? So he designs these 9 through sand and lob wedges, you know, a set of 5 wedges. Anyway, and we were talking about if you had a chance to ask a PGA Tour player, what would you ask him? He says, like, so a couple of these questions, like, what are the distances you hit your 9 iron and your pitching wedge? Curious.
It depends. I mean, it's so much to do with the weather. I mean, the temperature, everything, if it's like today, it's perfect out here today. And, I could probably hit a pitching wedge stock, not, you know, trying to nail it 135 yards. A 9 iron is probably 150, but those clubs can fluctuate the other way. 10 yards either way, depending on the weather and the wind and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I mean, that's golf, right?
Right. Yeah.
You gotta take everything into consideration. That's why playing for money makes me crazy. Cause I feel like I'm competing with so many other things. Why bring money into it too?
Yeah.
that just puts me over the top. It's like, I got to deal with the weather and the ground and the club and, you know, uphill and I'm on a, you know, uneven lie. There's just too much going on at any given time. And I don't want to do that. So here you have a 9 iron, 150, the pitch 135, all things being perfect, right? All conditions being perfect. Let's just say you're at the 135, 150. What do you do for a 143 shot? I mean, what do you do on your in-betweens? Do you pull back?
There's a couple things you have to take into consideration. Where is the miss? Okay, so if it's a back pin, okay, well, all right, I'll give you a good example. So
awesome.
Say you got
Thank
a 143
you.
Shot, and the pin is in the back, and the greens are firm. You're going to hit a wedge because you can't fly it to the pin because then it's going to hop over the green. But say the greens are wet, then you know, you might be able to get it there, but if you nail it, it's going to have so much spin on it, it's going to come backwards, and then you're going to have, like, 30 feet uphill. Well, if it's wet greens back pin, you take the 9, and you just kind of, you know, I mean, it's hard to teach people how to hit it hard and soft. The biggest thing I would say when people try to start, you know, finagling the speed of the swing, just make sure you keep swinging with your body. You know, don't just get armsy and handsy with it. It's the whole body has to keep moving. You don't stop and get handsy to, you know, try and finagle loft and stuff like that. So use your big muscles. That's what I think about when I'm trying to take some off. Use my big muscles, but shorten it up a little bit.
Awesome. Now let's kind of pick into that a little bit. How do you look at your stats? Do you care about your stats at all? Or is it just each round?
Don't.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. It just doesn't matter to you.
You can't lie to yourself. I mean, if you are, you're an idiot, you know, I mean, I know what I need to work on. I mean,
what do you need to work on?
Driving accuracy. Like if I drive it good, I usually play good because I'm a great iron player. My middle irons are, I think they're world class. I mean, when it's good, it's so cool to watch. But and then everyone can always work on their putting because you can never be a good enough putter. I mean, you can just clean up. You can hide so much stuff putting good. You know what I mean?
You can
just save shots. That's where you save shots.
It's so interesting because I was looking at your stats on the PGA website, and according to some of these numbers, and I'd love for you to dispute this or tell me, hear your surprise on this, for par four, and I guess these are your 2012 stats, par four, you were first in birdie or better.
Yeah, that's cool. I guarantee you that goes back to committed and not worrying about the result. because those things turn out good more than they turn out bad. And I don't like to play away from pins and stuff, so that doesn't really. I mean, it's cool to hear. I didn't know that, but I mean, that's what I would attribute it to.
So, do you think you are that good on par fives as well?
No, I'm freaking horrible on par five.
Actually, let me confirm. You are correct, sir. You are correct, sir. You are awful on par five. They rank you as 143rd on par five birdies.
It's so funny, man. So I always catch for my buddies, you know, because they'll be at home watching me play and then, you know, scorecard. I'll be playing good and I'll make a bogey on par five, and it's unbelievable how they happen. I mean, it just happens. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like I'll hit two good shots and then, you know, four putt or just do something so stupid or lay up and, you know, hit a bad wedge, and before you know it, it's bogey. And it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I don't know what it is. I might slip up a little on my focus on them, 'cause I think it's just going to be an easy birdie. But, It's annoying to play those bad.
Are you better at your first putt or your second putt?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I don't know. I mean, hopefully I don't have too many second putts like the first one.
Right, exactly.
It's hard, man, because the greens that the general public play, missing a short putt, you never have to worry about the next one. But out here, it's like, God, you miss a 3-footer, and then next thing you know, you have a 4-footer, and you just miss the 3-footer, and it's like, oh my God, you know? I mean, I just hope this goes in. I've definitely felt like that out there.
Really?
And it's not nerves, it's just some days it's not your day, and the ball just doesn't go in the hole.
Well, you know, overall birdie average, you're ranked 13th, which is awesome. But I guess that's because of that par four situation of being ranked first. But like I said, par fives, 143rd. Par threes, you're ranked 116th.
Yeah, that's being aggressive. I mean, that's what it is. But that's just the way I play. I mean, I can't play. I'm not a conservative player. I mean, it's just not for me. I feel like I'm good enough to play aggressive. Like, I don't need to play which you might think it's the other way around, but like, I feel like I hit the ball consistent enough to where I can take better lines and stuff like that. So maybe next year it'll be a little better, but those stats, I mean, you can read into them what you want, but
yeah,
some of those people out there punching and they're volunteering and it's great, but some of them never play golf before and they get out there and they're just I'll look up at the board and I'll say, Matt Every has, you know, 8 feet, 7 inches for par, and I've got like a 4-footer for par. I was like, this isn't 8 feet, 7 inches, you know? What are you talking about?
Well, you know, it's good that you see 24 inches as being a foot. So which, I find it fascinating, the par four, you know, obviously you want to be better at par fours than par threes and par fives because there's so much more.
Yeah, there's more of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Being overly aggressive. But your, where was another stat here I found so interesting about your game? Here it is, your greens in percent, your greens in regulation, you are amazing from 175 to 200 yards. Your fourth ranking.
That's good.
Right? But your short game,
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, if you look at everybody's stats, there's always going to be a weakness.
Right.
And that's my weakness. That's just what, if you're good in another area, it's usually, you're not going to be good. Like the best putters in the world, if they were the best ball strikers too, then they're top five in the world. I mean, it's just the way it is. But usually good putters do not hit it very well, and they have to putt good or else they won't have a job. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Are you someone who like has the same putter that you've had since you were 9 years old, or do you go through?
No, I'm all over the place. I had 6 top 10s this year, and all 6 of them I used different putter.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you spend a lot of time practicing with each one, or what makes you decide? I'm done with this. This sucks.
Well, every week they have reps, from like all the big companies come out and set a staff bag on the putting green at the event, and there'll be putters in there. And if I'm not feeling it with the one I'm using, I'll just walk up and grab one. And if it looks good, I'll go with it.
Hmm. And so it's none of that's in your head. You're just, I mean,
no.
What you'd like, it's this putter's fault. It's not me. Huh?
Nah, I'm not like that.
You take full responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually I do. Yeah.
Do you, so if you're hitting, I mean, you're obviously hitting much farther than most amateurs when you're hitting a pitching wedge, 135 yards. Do you use your lob wedge much? Do you use a 60-degree club very much?
I do. Oh, yeah. Around the green all the time. I use it a lot, yeah. 80 yards and in.
80 yards and in. So what do you do for – do you strategically position yourself so you don't have shots inside of 80 yards? Or it's like you just hit it as hard as you can.
It depends if that's like the widest part of the fairway or where the pin is and stuff like that. But I'm not, I don't have like a bread and butter yardage. I mean, it is nicer to have a fuller shot, but I feel like I'm good enough to where 50 to 100 yards really doesn't matter. I mean, I would like to be 50, you know, I mean, cause it's closer. But again, if the pin's up front and it's hard greens, then I don't want to be at 50 because I can't get any spin on it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And are you feel like you put me within, you know, 100 yards, it's two shots to get in the cup? Or,
I mean, usually,
ultimately that's what you want.
Depending on the conditions, I mean, I want to get up and down inside 100 all the time.
Right. Yeah, up and down from that point. I mean, that would be the ultimate goal here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you need some work on that. Not that I'm your coach or anything. I'm just looking at these random statistics, which...
You're right, I don't look at stats.
Yeah, right, exactly. Stop looking at the stats. Talk about what clubs you carry. How many wedges do you carry? And strangely enough, I am finding this interesting. I usually care.
Four wedges.
You do carry four wedges.
60, 56, 52, and then it goes into pitching wedge, which is like 47. And that runs into, I can play Cleveland wedges and then Bridgestone irons. And then I go wedge through three iron, and then a three wood and a driver. No hybrids.
Not
for me.
Why?
I feel like I swing too hard or I have too much clubhead speed for sweepers and, I don't know. I would rather the RNA and the USGA ban hybrids than belly putter. I think the hybrids do way more for an inferior golfer.
That's interesting.
You can hide so much. Like, I mean, some guys out there don't even have four irons in their bag. They're using, like, you know, the seven hybrid or stuff like that. And yellow golf balls. It's kind of embarrassing. Like, dude, you're on the PGA Tour and you got four irons in your bag and you're playing a yellow golf ball.
Don't do that. Are you playing, do you change your clubs like you change your putters?
No. I have the same irons. I mean, they have to make me change irons. Like, Bridgestone, you know, they'll send me the same exact iron, just newer head, just a new head because I like it so much. And then the ball, only change the ball when they change ball. When they come out with a new ball, I play it. But they're a sneaky good golf ball company.
Do you coach at all?
No. I mean, I would be a horrible coach.
Why?
I think I would be a good coach for a good player, but if it was like a 15 handicap coming to me, I don't think I would do. I don't think I'd be that good. Just because, I mean, I never see it, you know? Like, I could see what's wrong in a golf swing if it's fluid and, you know, I could be able to tell, like, oh, this is what he's doing because I probably have some of the same problems. But, and like an amateur or like a guy who just starts off or like, you know, 15 handicap, there's so much going on. It's like, where do you start, you know?
Right. Right. And where would you, when in correcting your, instead of watching somebody else, do you look at video of yourself? How do you determine what's working, what's not working for you at any given time?
you just know. You can tell through the ball if everything's moving together. You know, usually if it's not, something stops and the contact's off a little bit. I know when my body is moving right. And then, I don't know. I mean, you just know.
If you could hit one more birdie a week,
yeah.
What would that do to your game, your life? How that impact?
One shot at better a week, man. I mean, it would be great. I mean,
really,
that's what we all strive to do, though, is just one better a week. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's on the last hole or the third hole of the tournament. You know, it's just every shot out there is huge. I have a sarcastic saying I like to say when I miss a short putt, it's just one shot. You know, but it's one shot is so big. You know, but you're just just a shot. You know, like it was huge. I mean, it's a shot.
Yeah, but one shot can really...
It could be everything.
And financially, it could be everything for you. I mean, that could make a big
difference. Well, yeah, but I mean, for the tournament, it can be everything, too. I mean, you never know. Like, you know, you could have a five-footer downhill, and the difference between you making it and then you three-putting is night and day. I mean, it's like, if you make that putt, it's a momentum keeper. You know, your round is still on track. If you miss and you got 5 feet coming back and you miss that, it's like, oh my God, I just threw away two shots. Like, this is, it's not the end of the world, but this sucks, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you put a lot of pressure on yourself. Are you the kind of person that beats yourself up if you're not playing to your own potential?
Oh, man. I mean, it's kind of both. I do get mad at myself when I don't play to my potential, but I wouldn't say I beat myself up. I mean, I am very critical of my game. I know where it's, and like I said, you know, if you lie to yourself, you're an idiot. I know when it's good and when it's not good. That's a tough question.
I like those. As long as I'm asking them and not being asked. Can we spend another minute talking about Alpha Brain and what it's done for your game? And well, you know, you've admitted having ADD. I'm curious what it's also done for your life in addition to what it's done for your game.
Well, it's been huge. Like I said, I started taking it in January. I've had the best year of my life. Like, not even close. I mean, the best year of my life.
And you feel that that's a contributing factor?
Oh, definitely feel like it is. I mean, I'm just a better person on it. I stopped taking Adderall because it was a amphetamine and
banned substance, right?
Yeah, it's banned. I mean, you can get a TUE for it, but there's a big process you have to go through, and you know, it's not good for your body. And
it's interesting because
like
Adderall, you've probably had that because you were diagnosed as a kid. You've probably been on Adderall or even Ritalin for quite a while.
I wasn't. I got diagnosed. I was out of college. I was 23, 24. Yeah. I was on it for about a year and stopped taking it. And they wanted me to try this product called Strattera. And because it wasn't an amphetamine and it wasn't on the banned substance list. And I tried it and I hated it. It just wasn't for me. I got headaches on it. And like you said, this stuff is all herbal. It's all natural. And it's awesome, man. You feel great. You know, you feel clean and crisp. I'm telling you, you're not tired, but when you want to go to sleep, your body is so clean and you're like, I can't wait to sleep. Like, I'm not tired, but I can't wait to sleep. And that, for me, that's a really cool part of it that some people don't know.
Well, what about like life on the tour? You've got to adjust on your sleeping conditions. You got to adjust on your eating conditions. On the amount of social time that you have when you're on tour. All those things can definitely have a negative impact on your play. You know, 4 days in a row over a weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, if you eat bad during the week, you know it on about Friday or Saturday. I mean, you feel like crap. So putting good things in your body is a huge part of it out there.
And you're thinking Alpha Brain right now is one of those things. I love this.
And the new hemp protein too.
Okay. Awesome.
That stuff is awesome. I've sampled numerous hemp proteins, and they've all tasted like they sound. And this one tastes, it's the best tasting one I've tried so far, and it's good for you, too.
Awesome. So, yeah, in the literature on Alpha Brain, they talk about the natural ingredients, and one of them, AC11, rainforest super herb. I like that. I don't know what it means, but I like it.
No. it sounds like it's good for me.
Yeah, no, powerful DNA repair antioxidant. And then there's the one I have to try to learn how to pronounce, this powerful DNA repair antioxidant, phosphatidylserine. And I hope that's pronounced. But there's a long list of these natural ingredients that make up what is a really, really impressive product for golfers. And it's just being discovered by golfers. You're one of the first guys on the tour to be using Alpha Brain.
Yeah. Well, actually, one of their friends, the guys who make it, his name is Dustin Garza, and he's a golfer. He's on the main tours right now trying to make it up. And he introduced me to them, and I know the guys, and I trust their research. Like, I don't know what these ingredients you're saying do, but they work for me, man. I'm telling you.
That's all you need to know, right?
Yeah, well, and it is kind of new to the golfing community, but it's getting out there. I've had it on my bag for almost the whole year, and I had Dean Wilson the other day come up to me, and he listens to Joe Rogan podcast, and he like, "Matt, you take, I heard you take on it. You know, how is that stuff? I just started taking the Alpha Brain, and, Jim Rogan swears by it and blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "Yeah, man, it's awesome." And so, you know, guys are slowly starting to hear about it, but you're going to be hearing about it a lot, here in the next year.
Interesting.
It's going to make a difference.
Well, one of the things they say about it, and I was having a conversation with my friend about this, it says enhance your synaptic plasticity. And I'm looking at him like, "What? What does that mean?" But he was like, "Oh, you're kidding. Synaptic plasticity? Dude, are you, you're not on that?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And basically, in relation to golf, it's how you can have your thoughts be reshaped, meaning like you come up to that shot that always scares the crap out of you, or you always hit it in the water, you always hit it in the bunker type of thing. It's like, "Oh, no, not this shot again." But this is the kind of herb that helps you go, "I can get past this. This is not going to be a problem for me this time." And you can create your thoughts and change your thoughts, but this enhances it and enforces it. That alone for any golfer would be an amazing product to give a try,
yeah.
Right? Razor Focus, they say, and Mental Drive.
Yeah, it's huge, and it's not that expensive, and it's worth every penny.
Yeah, and for Golf Smarter listeners, when you click on the link for Alpha Brain by Onnit Labs, if you click on their link at golfsmarter.com, you can get a discount, and also know that you can also get free gifts. If you buy the 90-count bottle, and well, Matt, you were talking about the 90-count bottle does not last all that long for you.
No, just under a month.
If you buy that 90-count bottle, you'll also receive a golf towel and a set of tees. That's a very nice gift, very generous of them. They don't need to do that, but they want you to try out Alpha Brain by Onnit Labs. Just use that Golf Smarter checkout code. Get your 10% off. Order the 90-count. Get the golf towel and the tees. But definitely try it out. We've talked to Matt. We've learned a lot about his game, and you've heard him talk about this stuff. It's not so much, and this is what I love about it, it's not so much they're paying you to do this. You're doing this because you believe in this product, and it's helped. Here you are. You're saying the best year of your career.
Yeah, well, by far. It's not. It's literally, I think I made $500,000 2 years ago when I was on tour, and I made $2 million this year, and I took 2 months off when my child was born, so it wasn't even a full year.
Wow. I guess that anybody would like to take their salary increase from $50,000 to $2 million in 1 year. Not bad.
Or no, $500,000. Yeah,
$500,000. Even still, $500,000. That's still four times as much.
I'll take it.
And I'm sure that you didn't. Well, having a kid, but you still didn't increase your expenses by four times. So that's got to help. So one last question. I'm curious, when you're going through college and you're having a successful college career and you were named college amateur of the year, getting the Ben Hogan Award, did you have a major other than golf in college?
Yeah, I mean, it was, what was it called? I think it was called Commercial Recreation. It was, I told the first day I went in there, and you have to decide, you know, like, you meet with your counselor. And like, all right, what do you want your major to be? And I'm like, whatever has the least amount of math in it. So that's what it was. And so I did it. And I was like 12 credit hours short. But, you know, I was, that meant 6 more months in school, and I was the best player, one of the best players coming out of college, and it wasn't worth it for me to go back. So I just went out and played. And
did you graduate?
No, I was 12 hours short, spent 4 years there.
Oh, do you ever plan to? I mean, is there a plan B for you once your golf career is over? Or do you hope that there is no plan B?
I don't plan on it. I mean, I'm sure I'll stumble into something, but I always, that's funny you said that. I always, like in high school when they'd have these people come talk, you know, in the assemblies, people come talk to you and they'd be an athlete or something, like, okay, well, you know, only like, you know, 0.0% of you will make it to play pro sports and need a backup plan. I was like, that's such BS. I mean, if you already have a backup plan in your mind, that's probably what you're going to end up doing, you know? So I never had a backup plan. Like, I couldn't even tell you what kind of job I would have got with a commercial recreation degree. And, I mean, I just, it was all about, it's always, I'm going to be on the PGA Tour. And it's worked out that way, man, so.
Well, lucky for you. That's great.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people have that, especially, you know, when you're the stud athlete coming through high school and college and thinking, I'm going to be, you know, and then, oh my gosh, people get injured. Oh my gosh, you really aren't that good. So to have that in your mind, and there's a lot of kids who are incredibly confident. I'm not going to use the word cocky, but there are a lot of kids who are incredibly confident about their abilities until they're faced with the reality of, I guess I'm just kind of okay. Especially when you get to a professional level. So like here, so you get all this attention, you get amateur player of the year, you get all American, you get SEC conference titles, and all this stuff. Even then you come out on your rookie year and you get rookie of the year, whether you know it or not, and you get, you know, there's articles written about you and you're interviewed on TV and now all of a sudden you're in your second, third, fourth year, you're a journeyman and you're not getting that kind of attention. You know, you're on a podcast, not saying, but I mean, has it slowed down for you in the sense of, okay, I am a professional golfer. Now what? Or,
well, it's, I mean, you can make it slow down and you can make it go faster. I mean, I would say like, I'm always going to be fast. Like my swing, the way I walk, you know, just everything about me on the outside. But on the inside, I try and, I try to make things not difficult for me. Like, I don't have, I'm not a big social media guy. I'm not on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, but it's, that's a new thing for me. Some guys get high off of, you know, having social media and Twitter and stuff like that. And it's not for me. That's not the kind of person I am. So if you want to know something, I'll tell you. But if not, I mean, I'm not going to like volunteer. You know what I mean? Like, it's just.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I like to live my life, you know.
And you're going to continue to do that and live your life with your wife and your child and maybe more.
Like the attention. I don't need the attention that I got when I got out of college. It's not like it made me a better person. I mean, it's just, I know it's important. I know what is important right now, and it's not creating attention for myself.
Yeah, right. It's just focusing on your game, focusing on what you need to improve on. Well, listen, you know, in setting up this interview with you, I had to not only talk to the folks at Onnit Labs who helped us get this together, but we had to, you know, talk to your agents and this, and just to let you know, you may not know it, but there is a Matt Every Facebook page.
Well, that's news to me. A buddy the other day, we were hitting balls and he was telling me about like Instagram and, I'm like, what's that? He told me what it is, and he asked me if I had a Facebook, and I said, no, right now I don't. And he's like, why not? And I said, because I have like 12 real friends, not 550 fake ones, you know? I mean, this is the way I like it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, listen, I invite everybody to follow Matt Every very closely on tour, because he's going to continue to climb every year and make more money and make more attention for himself. And you can always talk about the time that you heard him on the Golf Smarter podcast. Matt, I really appreciate you giving me so much time here, and hopefully we can talk at the end of seasons or maybe during seasons and see how you're doing.
I'm open whenever, man, so if you want to have me, I'd love to come on.
Up next, by request, two episodes with custom club maker Tom Wishon on what the new USGA and RNA extended putter ruling means and how it affects you. Both of these episodes will be free to the entire Golf Smarter community so that you can recognize the value that Golf Smarter members around the world enjoy. Please join today and receive a new episode every week as we head into our eighth year at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.